I have some good news. Katie's going to be back next week for the kids' message. I have some more good news. That we are finishing phase two of our expansion over Christmas break. If you get a chance to peek into the kitchen back there, you can see the work going on. It's pretty incredible. We're going to finish a kitchen which will expand our capacity to feed more people and serve food on Wednesday night to all the kids and youth and adults in our communities. It also helps us to equip you who volunteer so graciously to prepare and serve those meals so that you can even more generously serve the mission of Jesus through this kind of meal ministry that we have. Phase two also equips our capacity to do the Little Flock ministry after 25 years of faithful ministry. The second phase will help us reflect our Christ-centered love and concern for our neighbors and seeking the prosperity and the well-being of our whole community. So I want to just say, well done, Bethlehem Covenant Church. So I hope you see the message that this building project conveys to the world around us. It really is an amazing and generous gift, and we trust that it will bring the redemptive message of hope and the hope of Christ for years down the road. I really believe it is significant what we are all doing, what you are doing. And it's been a really positive, growing, and inspiring experience, I think, for all of us. Bethlehem Church has gone through this process of extending our reach to make more disciples. And a friend and a partner in rural ministry, the Rural Impact Leadership Conference that I'm part of, Dr. Geese, he shared with me that building programs like ours are positive, they are inspiring, they are redemptive, and he adds, they are exhausting. So think about that. We've been on this project since 2020, the beginning of 2020, when we first tried to launch. And after the past 5 years of all the good things that have come, it's been exhausting. So do you feel it? I think coming to the end, I believe that one way or another, we all feel that change, that shift, that bit of exhaustion. See, good things can still be tiring. So during the season of Advent, we have taken a break. We've intentionally stepped back from anything that really hasn't been necessary so that we can practice what Jesus said, that come away kind of rest that he examples to his disciples. Jesus said, come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. So I hope you have taken this call to rest seriously. I know it seems a bit strange that we do it one of the busiest seasons of the year, but we've tried to example from here, I think, a framework for rest in the past 4 weeks through the messages, through a kind of a lighter schedule, invitations to seek the Lord in a season of slowing down. And so I have a question for you. Have you taken that to heart? Has it made a difference? Are you rested? I hope at least you're coming out of that completely exhausted feeling. Maybe even a little better, you feel like you're moving a little bit towards being renewed or to being restored. And even if you're not there yet, that's okay. Remember, rest takes time. So the next two messages are dedicated to you and to your rest. So I'm going to lead you through what a post-exhaustion recovery might look like. And so for many of you, I hope that rest will be an ongoing rhythm. But it's still important that we explore what we've done in this past season of Advent. And we're going to do that by asking the question, what is the purpose of rest? Why do we rest? Maybe for you, it's to find the outcome between the Vikings and the Packers. Or maybe it's the Packers and the Vikings. You know, we're a mixed bunch here. So maybe your idea of rest is to sit in a fish house. You know, that's how you choose to rest. There are many ways. But it's not the reason for rest. So the reason for rest, it's fourfold. And I'm going to use R's to help us remember what rest is. Rest is for restoration, for reflection, for reserves, and for resistance. So the first one is your body, mind, and spirit, they need to be restored through rest. The second one is that you need to reflect on what's taken place and how it has impacted you over the last season. The third purpose of rest is to bank necessary future reserves that have been depleted. And then the fourth and final reason for rest is there's a real temptation now to go double speed coming out of rest. You need to resist that temptation. So today we're going to tackle the first two, rest and reflection. The next message will be on reserves and resistance. And the main idea for this two-part series is this. You can keep a sustainable pace if you practice a rhythm of rest. So you can keep going. You can remain in the mission, on the field, if you continue a practice and rhythm of rest. So coming to the end of this major building season that has been great, inspiring, and exhaustive, the question becomes, how long should I rest? Well, the answer for you will be however long it takes you to be restored. And that's where we're going to start. Rest is restorative. If we go back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, Elijah, the prophet, he needed rest after he was on the run from Jezebel. He was emotionally exhausted. And so what did God do for him? God fed him and he slept. In 1 Kings 19:5, it starts out, "Then Elijah lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel of the Lord touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back to him a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.'" So what did God do? God fed him twice. He slept twice. Eat, sleep, eat, sleep. Are you getting the rhythm? I like that one. He's too exhausted to go on. So after he rested, that's key, after he rested, then he finished the journey. And then he could work on the spiritual issues that he had with God, which for Elijah there were plenty. So the point is, he had to be physically restored. So the idea, the meaning of restoration is returning something or someone to its original state or an improved condition. So implying a renewal or repair to a usable and functioning state. So in other words, when you and I are exhausted, we're not very usable or functional. So let's look at another way to see this. We can't deal with the other reasons for rest until we first get this restoration piece. So the UCLA Health reports that good health requires about 150 minutes of moderate exercise per week. So some of you strive to get close to that. Good job. Some of us, not so much. Some of you are actually high achievers who exceed that amount. So if you're not one of those high achievers, stick with me for a moment. The UCLA Post says that if you're one of the excess workout people, you know, who overachieve, you might actually need to start thinking about taking days off from your intense routine. So those days off are called rest days. And the UCLA Health says that they can be just as important a part of your exercise routine as your most active days. Taking some downtime between exercise sessions is essential for building strength and preventing injuries. So some of the benefits of rest days are better mental and physical health, fewer injuries, less muscle soreness, and stronger muscles. Intense exercise actually creates tears in your muscles. So when you rest, those tears not only heal, but they allow your muscles to get stronger. So maybe you're not guilty of being an over-exerciser, but you may be running at an unsustainable pace in your life for your body and mind. And if you're physically and emotionally drained, then the rips and tears of life need to heal and recover. And the only way they're going to do that is if you take a rest day, if you get rest, like Elijah. Your journey in life, and I think especially as a Jesus follower, this is so important, your journey is too much for you without rest. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you," what? Rest. It's not just a nice verse, it's the truth. And yes, this has spiritual significance, but we don't want to forget that it is actually rooted in a physical reality. You need to be restored through rest. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down." Say, lie down. Get the imagery here? He makes me lie down in green pastures. The psalmist in 4:8 says, "In peace I will lay down." Say, lay down. "In peace I will lay down, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Rest. Physical rest is often, I think it's essential, and the beginning point for spiritual rest. So David, he needed a rest, and that renewed his soul. He writes, "He leads me beside quiet waters, he refreshes my soul." So the first purpose of rest is restorative. So what can you do? Well, the UCLA article recommended what we call active recovery. I thought this was interesting. A rest day isn't no activity. It's not nothing. It's light activity and movement. They said the goal is to finish your rest and recovery day feeling refreshed and ready to go. David said, "He refreshes my soul." What about you? Are you refreshed? So as we come out of a season of rest, I encourage us to try an active recovery. Ease back in slowly so that you remain refreshed. The first reason we rest, then, is to be restored. The second reason is time for reflection. We need to recognize what's been happening. So have you taken that time to look back in this past season? Has there been any fruit? Have you noticed God at work around you? A friend shared some time ago, maybe you heard this story, about his aging mother who always went to a neighboring town to a small mall to get her hair done. So one cold, blustery, wintry morning, she drove to the mall and parked in the lot and went into the salon, and she spent an extended amount of time. So when she finally decided it was time to go, she went out to the blustery parking lot, got into her older model car, but it wouldn't start. It wouldn't turn over. It had been having some problems with the starter getting stuck. So after several attempts, no luck, she called her sons. And both of them were available. They met her in the parking lot. And sure enough, there she was sitting in her car waiting for them to get her going. So they lifted the hood. They checked it out, hooked up a jumper cable, but nothing. So one of them went and grabbed a tire iron out of the truck, crawled under the engine, banged on the starter a few times because that had been sticking, but still, nothing happened. So after struggling for too long, they decided it would have to be towed. So they crawled out from under the car, closed the hood, and as their mom got out of the car, they told her to lock it up. So she hit the lock button, and a chirp came from a few rows down. Wide eyes, they both looked at her and said, "This is not your car." So she quickly went over to her car, put in the keys, started up, and drove away. When it comes to reflection, it's important to know what you're looking for. David reflects in Psalm 23, "The Lord guides me along the right path for his name's sake." So the mission of your life, like David's, is to be a branch of the vine that bears fruit for God's glory, for God's name's sake. And that's why David relied on the Lord to guide him on the right path. So as we take time to reflect back on Christ's mission of making followers, we want to be clear about where the church has been spending its time and energy. David reflects on the vision ahead. He says, "Surely, Lord, your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, forever is a long time. And I think that's the key for us. It's easy to focus on short-term things and run hard and fast to get through. And granted, there are seasons when we do have to do that. But God sees the whole picture, right? From beginning to end. And when we reflect on that long view of our role in this greater mission of God's story, we can see that there are rhythms to work and rest, and they interplay and go together. It's intentional for the whole church. And we can rest in confidence that God has the outcomes, no matter how big or small, how long or short. So our role as the church is simply being obedient to what God has called and equipped us to do. And as we reflect on that mission, the Holy Spirit then will guide the church along the right path, and you'll see God at work all around you. And I think we are seeing that here at Bethlehem Church. You know, this Christmas we did a shortened version of the kids program, a little bit out of weather and necessity, a little bit out of that need to rest. And it resulted, I think, in people saying that it was actually the best Christmas program ever, which is interesting, right? And then every Sunday we hear prayer requests for gratitude about ministries like the Ability Ministries and its leaders whose purpose is, you know, ultimately to gather together in Christ's name. And we've committed, we have an amazing group of Sunday school leaders and teachers who do a unique version of Sunday school now in one room together. And it's amazing what is happening in and through that ministry. One of the life groups this year is having a great season together. They're more excited, I think, than I've ever seen. And they are they're meeting, they're renewing, they're studying and praying, and it's all just kind of organic. The group of volunteers that come out for demo in the flooring project over here in the kitchen, it was amazing. You know, a lot of hands lighten the load, and as they shared and talked about that experience, there were smiles. It was joy. And we've heard today John and Courtney talking about fulfilling that short-term honeymoon mission trip, and they're commissioned by you, Bethlehem Church, sending people to go in the midst of a season of rest. And I say even in a season of rest, or maybe especially in a season of restful obedience, God is at work. God works while we're at rest. And when we are obedient as a church, God always gets the glory. So the first part of reflection is to look at where God is at work around us. It's important. The second part is to look at where God is at work in you. According to a story, a psychologist at Stanford University once tried to show that we live for productivity results or productive results. And so the research hired a logger and said that he would pay him double if he would take the blunt end of an axe and just pound on a log all day long. Never have to cut a piece of wood, he said. Just take the end of the blunt axe and hit it as hard as you can on the log, just like you would normally. After half a day, the man quit. So the psychologist asked, "Why did you quit?" And the logger said, because every time I move the axe, I have to see chips fly. If I don't see chips fly, it's no fun. How about you? Can you see the chips flying? If you take time to reflect, you may find instead of being effective that you discover that you're cutting wood with the blunt end of an axe. And some self-reflection is needed, especially if you're feeling exhausted. Because believe it or not, when we are in the right path, as God has called us, there is a sense, even though we can get tired, of being rejuvenated, of being energized. So I think it's time to lean on the Lord, to do some self-reflection, and let the Lord lead you in the right paths. So I'm going to ask a serious question now. We've been talking about this for, this is our fifth week. Are you rested? So I'm inviting you to self-assess and rate yourself a level of 1 to 10. Pick a number on your level of restedness. Number 1 is I'm completely exhausted. I'm ready to close my eyes right now. Number 10 is, I am fully restored, refreshed, and ready to go. So, exhausted or fully restored. Now, think about that for a moment. Pick a number. Think about that in your head. And when you have it, I'm going to invite you, kind of for an accountability, kind of just to verbalize it, turn to someone beside you and tell them your number. Go ahead and do that. If you're online, go ahead and type your number in. Are you rested? Okay, in just a moment, if you're under five, the greeter's going to come and hand out pillows, and you're going to take a little nap. So self-examination is kind of like a periodic health checkup. The psalmist says, search me, God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See, David wanted, or the psalmist wanted God to assess his heart. Want God to do it. See, we need divine wisdom to reveal what's going on in us. So we can't do all this on our own. It's kind of a self-assessment warning, actually. We can get so focused on our own hang-ups that we forget where we're headed. One author says, we'll never see ourselves clearly by focusing more intently on ourselves. In other words, we need to look at Jesus. The apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate, reflect, look at the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And this is where David lands on his own self-assessment from Psalm 51. He needs God's perspective. He says, you, Lord, created me a pure heart. Oh God, you renew a steadfast spirit in me. He says, you, Lord, restore me to the joy of my salvation, and you grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So David looks to the Lord, and here's the key, I think, to examining yourself, and that is, don't get stuck on yourself. Robert Murray McCain, he famously said, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. And I think that's a great principle. You know, we're looking in, we're doing some self-evaluation, we need to do that, some assessment, but while we're doing that, don't forget to look at Christ. One look in, 10 looks at Christ. Look at his character, look at his purpose, look at his meaning, look at how he deals with other people, look at your relationship with him, and ask yourself, is there fruit coming out of that? And Galatians talks about that kind of fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, love, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Focus your self-examination on the chips that are flying. Are they fruit? Pastor Chuck Swindoll, he asks, is your love growing? You know, if we're getting rested and restored, then we might see that we are seeking what's best for others instead of just caring for ourselves. Is your joy more present? Are you experiencing that abundant life that Jesus promises? Are you smiling inward, and is it coming out on the outside? Are people asking you, what's going on with you? Why are you so happy? Are you full of peace? Is your mind at rest? Is your heart settled because you are fully trusting in God? It's just peace. Is there patience growing in you? Are you learning to wait on God? Is it reflecting in your patience with others? Are you more or less? Are you kind? Are you just nice? Are you extending grace to other people? As you remain connected to Jesus, the chips flying are the fruit that is growing. So how long do you need to rest? Well, long enough for you to be connected to the one who can restore to you the joy of your salvation and the one who can grant you a willing spirit to sustain you. You and I, we can keep a sustainable pace if, and I think only if, you practice a regular rhythm of rest. Please join me in prayer. Father, thank you that you call us to rest in you. In fact, it is really the promise in Scripture that we will enjoy a Sabbath rest, an idea of dwelling with you for all eternity. A rest, Lord, in your presence that enables us to be fully who you have called us to be, made us to be, fashioned us to be, restored us to be. And so, Lord, help us to be attentive in this season to our body's need for rest. And Lord, when the signs are showing up that things are out of whack, then, Lord, help us to turn to you and to trust you that you will still be at work while we rest. And Lord, as we do, help us to assess not just how you are at work around us in the world and in the church, but even in our own lives, Lord. And then show us the paths we need to take. Align us, Lord, so that we can walk with you. And Lord, as we do, as we trust in faithful obedience to your command to come away with you to a quiet place and get some rest, then Lord, may you be glorified in our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.